This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Savage Arms and the new 110 Ultralight. At about 6 pounds, the 110 Ultralight is designed to combat elevation and the elements while maintaining the performance of a factory blueprinted Savage 110 action. The carbon fiber wrapped stainless steel barrel makes it durable and lightweight. The rifle comes equipped with the Savage AccuFit technology, so that means it's adjustable and it comes in a variety of calibers. The 308, the 270, the 28 Nosler, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 30-06, and much more. If you want to find out more information about the 110 Ultralight, visit savagearms.com.
Brian Tucker with High Mountain Seasoning is on the show. We discuss his start in processing meat, roll with High Mountain Seasoning, complete jerky maker, antelope and their gamey taste, and more. I hope you enjoy the show. You are listening to Tales from the Field, presented by Outdoor Edge. Stories, tips, tactics, and in-depth conversations coming to you from industry leaders. Let's get into the show. Today we have Brian with High Mountain Seasons on the show. How's it going, Brian?
Good, man. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good. It's a Monday morning, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you. It's kind of funny. We talked a little bit before the recording, and it's kind of we know some of the same people and have lived in the same places. Kind of crazy. Small world.
Oh, yeah. They've always said the state of Wyoming is almost like a small town versus a small state. Everybody knows everybody. There's some sort of connection, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So whether it be a good or a bad connection, there's probably a connection there.
I think the one we found this morning was a pretty decent one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Brian, why don't you give us a little bit about your background and, you know, how you came to use Outdoor Edge knives and things like that.
Okay. So, you know, born and raised in Wyoming, have been a hunter pretty much, you know, since I could do it my whole life. And was using their knives long before I came to work at High Mountain Seasoning. But then after coming to work here 7 years ago, I really got introduced into their whole lineup, got to meet, you know, the owner of the company, some of their employees, sponsor some of the same TV shows, and now actually one of the main shows that we both sponsor, The Love of the Hunt TV on Pursuit Channel, I actually film the pro staff for, so I use a lot of their products for that as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I've been processing wild game privately for people since I was 19, and the game processor set is one that I started with, and you know, I've used, I wouldn't say exclusively, except several other knives with Outdoor Edge, but at this point, I mean, it's one of those staples that I've got in my setup.
I gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of funny because I was the same way. You know, I was using their knives and it's like, man, you know, I think the first one I actually got was a Havilon, and I was like, oh yeah, cool, you know, Havilon, or saw somebody using it, and then I subscribed to Eastman's, and for the subscription I got one of their free interchangeable blade knives, and I was like, that was part of the reason I got the subscription, you know? And I was like, man, this knife is awesome. But I had no clue at that point in time that they had so many other tools in their lineup. And
oh yeah.
And it blew my mind. I went and filmed David, you know, the owner, in Kansas last year. And I walked into the store or into their shop there, and I'm like, holy smokes, Dave, you guys have a lot more than just one knife, you know, one of those interchangeable blade knives. And he's like, oh yeah, we got this. I had no clue. So
oh, yeah.
It was crazy. It blew my mind. So it's kind of interesting hearing you say kind of the same thing, that you had no idea that they had that many knives.
Right. Well, and there's the game changer. Like you said, once they came out with their own interchangeable knife, you know, you get a little bit of flex in the blade still and not having to sharpen it, you know, when you're in the field or in, you know, a situation where you need a sharp knife right now. And it's got a backbone too, where it's not super flexible and keep snapping blades off like other brands. So I've been super impressed with those, from even like their new Razor Max knife too. It's been phenomenal. Fish this past year, I couldn't blame them. Any of those. I mean, David and the crew there have definitely revolutionized the hunting knife industry, to say the least.
Yeah, that actually we can kind of touch on that Razor Max. That would be an awesome one to kind of dive into, because I think, like we've already covered, they're very well known for that flip open, you know, like the Razor Light, and there's a few of them in that lineup right there. That, you know, the
right.
Flip open interchangeable blade knife, and
yep.
Dave actually gave me one of their box cutters that's a flip open. He gave me that Razor Max, and I was beyond impressed with the Razor Max. And he told me, he said, you know, this might not be up your alley because you're more of a backpack hunter and you like to be able to fold your blade, whatever. And I still took it with me on a couple of my trips, and that thing blew me away. And I haven't used high-end knives as far as, you know, meat processing, things like that, probably much anything like your background and your usage, but man, that thing was that just how well it fits in your hand. Like, it was awesome. I was like, sold.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't even use it just for filleting. You know, I would use it for deboning. You know, I'm doing either an elk or a deer in the garage, and I'm working on it for somebody, right up against the, you know, the spine, or work around the ball joint of a hindquarter, anything like that. Those blades really, really held up, you know, and with the backbone of the knife itself, that it gave me that little extra push when needed, and that sharpness of that blade. It was one of the perfect, you know, knives for the situation that I was in.
Yeah, and I agree there, because it was, you know, I don't fish a whole bunch, so I was using it just like you said, you know, for kind of skinning the game and then deboning and things like that. And like you say, there was flex when you needed it, but it was also stiff enough that you could get whatever you needed to accomplish done.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those I highly recommend, that any of those new products that come out each year. A high-end knife, and it's not necessarily a super high-end top. It's portable for the everyday hunter.
Right.
And if got multiple uses. It's so easy to interchange those blades. I mean, they've come a long way in the knife industry. So they have folding knives, that's what your thing is, like you were talking about, or they've got sets that ride around in the back of your truck. Like, I've got their Outfitter pack that literally does not leave my truck. You never know when you're going to need to, you know, cut a limb loose or anything like that if you're in the backcountry, and you just got a lot of options there to help you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you say, it's the price point is great for what you're getting, and the blades are thick enough that, as I'm sure you've probably found out, if you choose to resharpen them, you can resharpen them and they hold an edge really well even after being resharpened, which is important.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially because you never know if you're going to be skinning something or just, you know, everyday use, that you got to have that edge to get through it and not cause any damage, or, you know, just keep it safer too for the use.
Absolutely. So how, you know, with you getting started into the seasoning and into processing your own meat when you were doing it privately, I'm somebody that, yeah, I process my own meat, but I absolutely hate it. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't go hunting and shoot something and be like, okay, cool, it's time to process this thing. I'm like, great. Now I have to process it. So what, you know, I can definitely see the business side of it, especially for hunters like myself, where I'm just like, you know what, it doesn't bother me to bring my game to somebody else, aside from the cost. But you know, how did you get started into processing game your own meat, and then eventually that rolling into High Mountain Seasonings?
All right. So, you know, growing up, you know, we always processed our own, just because, like you said, the cost is such a big, you know, factor in all of that, that we just did it ourselves. And just a lot of trial and error on my part growing up with my dad, my grandfather hunting, and just worked through there. And then by the time I was, you know, 19, 20 years old, hunting on my own some, when they didn't want to go as much as I did, having the animal to process and not being able to afford it at 19 years old to have someone else do it. Just kind of figured it out, followed the muscle group, studied it that way, and then found, you know, tried multiple different seasonings, and I ended up, you know, coming on High Mountain, which was far and above the best one that I had used at the time, and then just kind of continued from there, got to meet the owners through mutual friends, and an opportunity came up 7 years ago, and they gave me a call and offered me a job in the sales department, and kind of worked into, you know, from there, entry-level sales to the senior executive, now to the national sales manager's position. And knowing that, like, with my personal use, has made it a whole lot easier to sell, and it truly is one of the easiest kits you're going to buy on the market. Instructions are so cut and dry that for the first-time user to an experienced user, you're going to come out with a, you know, butcher shop-level quality-type product.
That's great, and you know, I'm pulled up here on your guys' website, and, you know, I'm looking at some of your featured products and your top sellers. And I mean, it looks like to me, you guys offer everything from make amazing jerky to cook fish and make it actually taste, you know, better than just rubber.
That's true. Yeah, we offer, I think we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of about 200 different types of products.
Wow.
Shake bottles, rubs, dips, marinades, bulk, you know, sizes of everything, jerky kits, sausage kits, you know, field prep tools, anything, you know, in between. It's usually, if there's a need or a niche that people are trying to accomplish with a seasoning, we either have it or we can figure out a way to get it set up. So,
gotcha. So with, you know, coming on to High Mountain Seasoning 7 years ago, what exactly is your role with High Mountain Seasonings?
So my primary role is in sales. You know, I do a lot of the big box stores. I do go to a lot of the trade shows. I also help with, you know, marketing and media, product development, product testing, and anything in between. So it's my background from processing. I've got enough knowledge that I can help a lot of different aspects. And kind of, if something comes up and they need someone to do it, a lot of times it's I end up getting the task.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, it's cool. I'm looking at all this stuff that you guys have, and my goodness, you are not kidding. And what I think is really cool is so here I am. I'm looking at the complete jerky maker kit.
Right.
For everybody out there listening, although jerky may seem like a very simple thing to make, and maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just not a very good jerky maker. But man alive, have I had some hell trying to make some jerky. It just, you know, it will soak it overnight or do whatever else. And disclaimer here, I've never tried any of your guys' stuff. So,
right.
I'm definitely very intrigued because, as you know, I would assume are you still a hunter, Brian, I would assume?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I do a lot of filming for, like, Love of the Hunt TV. I actually killed a buffalo this year.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you use a bow or a rifle?
I used a rifle.
That's still wicked cool. Gosh, them buffalo are so big, aren't they?
Oh yeah. I mean, it took three rounds just to finish her off. She definitely did not want to go down.
That's insane. Honestly, now that we're talking about hunting, I don't really remember where I was. Oh yeah, okay, now I remember where I was going. what I was gonna say is, like, you know, I've used, you know, Google and all this stuff to try and make jerky. Cause as you know, when you go on a hunt trip and you're backpacking in or even taking horses in, it doesn't really matter. Having some jerky along on the trip is kind of a staple. I mean, it tastes mm-hmm. great. It adds pretty decent amount of nutrition and protein. And it's great to have, but their jerky,
quick accessible snack for sure.
Exactly. But it's definitely not great to have when it tastes like garbage. You know,
no, that's true.
It ends up being the last thing that you eat rather than the first thing. And yeah, it looks like with the stuff that you guys offer that, it would make it come out tasting good and be the first thing that you reach over to grab as opposed to the last.
Right. Well, and it's super easy to do too. I mean, ours is a little bit of a unique style. It's not a liquid marinade. It's a dry cure that you put on. If you're doing like whole muscle meat, it's going to, you know, you can let it cure for 24 hours prior to cooking it or smoking it. But it's super simple. We got the measurements per pound of meat in the kits. One of our individual kits will do 15 pounds of whole muscle meat or 10 pounds of ground. So it's very cost effective. We sell them for about $8.49 per kit. Have your meat from your harvest, and then compared to what you might buy in the store from a pre-made jerky that's already in the bag on the shelf, you're going to significantly save a lot of money.
Yeah, and you know, like looking here at the complete jerky maker, it says it's $86, $85.99, but mm-hmm. it comes with all kinds of stuff that in my experience of trying to make jerky at home, I already know would just make it so much easier to make the jerky.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, geez. That's cool.
Those tools and those kits and stuff that you don't necessarily think of. Just, you know, a lot of people don't want to spend $100 or more on an electrical jerky slicer. We've got a board that's got a knife in it that's actually made by Outdoor Edge for us. You know, we've collaborated on a few kits that way, and so they've made the knife to slice the jerky with our board, and we can send a variety pack with it, a internal thermometer, a meat scale, and then a jerky screen for your oven or your smoker. So basically, as long as you have the oven, you can make jerky.
That's cool. With that, do you find that the jerky typically tastes better cooked in the oven or cooked in like a dehydrator or maybe more of like a smoker type thing? Which do you typically prefer, and maybe which one's easiest in your opinion?
So the easiest one's probably going to be your oven. Everyone's got one. Everyone knows how to use one. You don't have to find the right temperature settings on your smoker depending on how it works, unless it's digital or just kind of a gauge-type smoker. And then a dehydrator, it presents its own issues of, one, getting hot enough to cook the jerky to the safe temperature to eat it. And also a lot of times the dehydrator will pull moisture out of the meat, which it's dehydrating, but it also pulls the seasoning here out or to the surface of the jerky itself, and then you'll get a real salty bite immediately because all that salt hits your tongue the first time you take a bite. So a lot of times I'll do it in the oven. Some of our kids, say like our hickory or our hunter's blend, already have kind of a smoke additive to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it's not a liquid smoke or anything like that that can cause a bitter taste. It's just some of our seasonings that have that in it that allows that smokiness already without having to use the smoker.
Oh, yeah, that definitely sounds way easier. I haven't messed with one of the new age smokers, but my dad has a smoker that we made out of a culvert. And
right.
You know, and obviously there's no timers and temperature dials and all that stuff, but it's, you still battle the same thing. You're still trying to get the wood to be smoking and, or coals or whatever you're using, you know, to be smoking at the right temperature so that everything cooks and you don't, you don't get sick or whatever else.
Right. And that's just it. That's where, you know, a lot of these guys have spent so much time doing it. Like your dad, I'm sure he's got a feel and knows exactly how to do it. And to monitor it, you know, for the first time home user that may not have something like that, that might be a little bit of a challenge to keep it at temperature, not too hot, not too cold, that kind of thing.
Right, absolutely. So, if, you know, if somebody is out there in the field and they have, you know, obviously coming home and eating, using some of your guys' seasoning and things like that to really dress up the meat, what are a few things, maybe some tips, that you could give somebody standing over the animal right after the kill to be able to get that meat back to have, you know, to have like the best flavor and everything like that once they get home?
Have you ever dreamt of having the true Western elk hunt experience? I'm talking screaming bulls, the smell of pine and elk wallows, a bow in your hand as the herd bull is coming into shooting range. Outdoor Edge is giving away a free elk hunt with Colorado Premier Outfitters out of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and the chance to hunt with president and founder of Outdoor Edge, David Block. To enter the drawing, go to OutdoorEdge.com and click on Elk Hunt Giveaway. Again, that is OutdoorEdge.com and click on Elk Hunt Giveaway. Now, let's get back to the show.
Field dress it immediately. Get those internal organs out. Once the heart stops beating on the animal, once it's you harvested it, those enzymes that are in the body start to break down and cause bacteria to grow. So a lot of times, you know, you hear the term like wild game taste or gaminess, or that wild game flavor. A lot of times that has come from, unfortunately, poor field prep. So get an animal, get it down, you said, get the internal organs, everything out as soon as you can. If it's not a trophy, which 99% of them are that aren't, that you're going to mount, get that hide opened up. Like I always take, especially like in the, for antelope, when it's 95 degrees outside still in September here in Wyoming, I'll take a knife and I'll open up the hide on the back strap as well, right along the spine. So all that thing, all the hide is a big blanket and it's holding that heat in, and heat is allowing that bacteria and everything to grow to cause that gamey taste. And I always travel with a cooler or two full of cubed ice, blocked ice, just to get it inside the body cavity of the animal once I've got a field dress to help it cool down immediately. Then I head straight for the house, get it skinned and hung up in my cooler, or some people who don't have a cooler can get it into a ice or a cooler full of ice and just get that cooled down, you know. A lot of times people want to show their buddies, oh, look what I just did, look at the animal I just harvested, which is great and all, bragging and showing it off, but that animal bouncing around the back of a pickup truck or anything like that, warmer temperatures is only adding to that gamey taste.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, especially like a bow hunter, right? Chances are you shoot the animal and you're going to, even if you go, yep, that was a great shot, aside from maybe watching the animal tip over, you're probably going to wait 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour.
Right.
So you go there, you see your animal, get your pictures, and then get the guts out as quickly as possible. It's kind of what it sounded like. Yeah, that's just something that I don't know. You know, because obviously you get there and you're like, man, I really want some good pictures. But I as you as well as you know, I'm sure you can. It's crazy how good the pictures can still be when the guts are out.
Right. It's one of these. I understand wanting memories and the show it off and everything like that. I mean, but each photo just gets quick, get everything taken care of, because harvesting that animal and then eating it, you said you want to make sure it's the best tasting that it can be.
Right.
And the longer you wait to get those out and get that body cooled down, is the more higher chance you're running to have that gamey taste in there.
So with somebody that is, say, backpack in there, and mm-hmm. you know they're going to bone the animal out and do the gutless right. method. So as soon as they take their pictures, would you recommend basically literally just starting to skin it and taking meat off? Or
yep, absolutely. Get your game bags out, get that meat off of the bone, and get it into those bags. Whether you're going to hang it up overnight to let it cool, if you're hiking, camping, or anything like that. But yeah, absolutely. As soon as you're done with your photos and all that, get to work. Because the longer you wait, the higher, or the more risk you're taking of having that meat start to spoil or turn a little bit on you. And best thing I can recommend is a company that Outdoor Edge and I'm Out both work with, Coolabuck, has games that are antimicrobial. So as soon as, especially in those warmer weather, you get an animal down, you bone it out, you get them in these antimicrobial bags, they prevent those enzymes from growing and will help preserve the meat itself too.
Oh, cool.
There's nothing else like it on the market. Yeah, you'll have these other bags out there that are dry bags that work just great. But these have a liquid, formula that they've come up with that the bags are soaked in, that's going to help preserve that meat for your hike out.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, say the name of that company again.
Coolabuck. It is Coolabuck.
Coolabuck. Huh, that's interesting. That's a pretty good idea.
The guy's a meat processor himself. He's actually the host of Love to Hunt TV that we both sponsor.
Okay, well, perfect.
Yeah, so he's come up with some pretty ingenious ideas from a semi-portable walk-in cooler that's got like a giant shroud with a thick bag over the top of it that everyday users can put in their garage. It's on wheels to hang their animals into, the spray that you can put on the carcass or the hide to these bags that are soaked in that antimicrobial solution that's allowing them to prevent flies from getting to it or bacteria from growing, just to save meat.
That, and that's such a great idea, because I it sounds like you've hunted backpack style and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, one year I shot a elk in Colorado, and it was hot. And I was hunting in the lower country. It was like 95 degrees, and I shoot this elk, and I start boning him out, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I came in here, I did all this work, boned him out. I really, obviously, it's not like you can run out of there,
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can only move so fast, and that comes into knowing how far you should go and still be able to get the meat out, obviously, which I got it out and it was fine. But the whole time I was walking, I was thinking, man, this, this is pushing it. This meat is, and luckily it was all good. So nothing spoiled, but having kind of the peace of mind that your game bags are helping you out, man, that's a really good idea.
Right. Exactly. I mean, because how many times too, like when you put the meat in the bag, you didn't throw bag immediately on the ground, go to the next bag and get a little bit of dirt on it or anything like that. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like it's a light switch that as soon as the animal's dead, the meat spoils.
Right.
You have time there, but you want to make sure you utilize the time that you have.
Right.
Not wait or push it. I've unfortunately seen here in my hometown, someone has killed a good antelope buck, and they go drive around, show all their buddies for the rest of the day, and this thing is riding around in 85, 90 degree weather, back of the truck, and it's just spoiling the whole time. And then they wonder why, antelope tastes like garbage, it's got that gamey taste. Well, it's because of the field prep is where a lot of that has come from. So,
how much do you think, because I've heard that when you say you shoot an antelope, and they run 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 and they until they, and then they finally tip over dead, or vice versa, they ran a whole bunch whether it be because of the rut or whatever else, and then you shoot one. I've heard that that running can really add to how gamey they taste. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I figured I'd kind of wondering what your thought was.
Oh, yeah, I believe there's some truth to that. You get some adrenaline run pumping through that body a little bit. I mean, it's definitely going to add to it. It's definitely a factor for sure. I mean, if you see one that's been running in that hot head weather or muggy weather for a couple hours or even glass and chasing it, you are going to have a chance that meat's going to be a little bit different because it's different types of hormones and, like, you know, I guess even enzymes in the body that are running through that animal that are definitely affecting that meat because those muscles are getting used and fatigued. And so that's what you're going to be eating. Like, I can definitely see that being a factor in it, absolutely. That take your time, you know, don't rush a shot, and that way you don't have an animal that's wounded and runs forever before you go and retrieve it too. So.
Right, right. That's never happened to any of us. Oh man, boy, that could definitely be a whole nother rabbit hole to dive down and start talking about ethics and
oh yeah,
we
and
might be just, here.
Yeah, people get buck fever and they get anxious. They see a trophy or they see, you know, and it happens. It just
yep.
Of human nature can take over, and it's not like they're being unethical intentionally or anything like that. You just got to make sure that you're in a good position where you can get that animal, you know, humanely taken down to the best of your abilities and then get to work on it right away.
Yeah. So kind of not quite wrapping it up, but kind of shifting subjects because I'm still sitting here. I'm looking at your guys' complete jerky maker kit. And what I was kind of curious if, you know, if you're taking the field prep out of it, okay, and let's just say the elk was field prepped, the mule deer, the whitetail, and the antelope, they were all field prepped the same. In your opinion, is one of those better to eat? And even better yet, actually, yeah, let's actually approach this a little bit different way. Out of those four, is there a specific seasoning you would recommend for each kind of meat? Does that make sense?
So, what were those four again? You said deer, elk, antelope, and...
I guess I said whitetail and mule deer, elk and antelope.
I got you.
And I was wondering if, you know, since you guys literally offer hundreds of seasonings, I was wondering if, you know, because as you know, I probably wouldn't take Montreal steak seasoning and put it on fish, right? You could.
I mean, that's one of the cool things about our stuff. Like, I recommend using our seasoning on other things you wouldn't think of. I mean, I'll take our rib rub and put it on eggs. I'll take our venison rub and put it on vegetables. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got a lot of different varieties and stuff there that you could do. I mean, we have people who take our salmon rub and they use it on chicken. Swear by it. So,
gotcha. And
it says it's for one specific thing doesn't mean you can't branch out a little bit.
Right. And I, you know, because I've used the Montreal on probably more things than anyone would ever want Montreal on. But but I guess I'm just curious if there are a few of your seasonings that people tend to like putting on elk, maybe, or a few that people are like, hey, this has been the best on antelope. You know what I mean?
Right. So our venison rub has been a big one, especially for elk. I mean, they'll put it like on an elk steak or an elk backstrap. They'll let it, you know, sit on the meat, then it'll soak in for about 45 minutes to an hour prior to cooking. And I know I've done it before, whether you take like a hot cast iron skillet, you render down some bacon fat, or you melt a little bit of butter. Then once that gets super hot, you sear both sides, or, you know, all sides of it. You get that medium rare, you know, internal temperature, and that has been phenomenal for elk for sure on that one. When it comes to antelope, I like to shoot an extra antelope doe or two each year if I can get a tag, just to make summer sausage out of them.
Okay.
I make a jalapeno. Yeah, I take our jalapeno summer sausage kit. I add in high temperature cheese, and when I bring it into the office, sampling, it doesn't last very long. people always think antelope, you know, they immediately get that like ooh factor kind of thing, you know, and it's not. It's really good. It's, you know, like to me, if I can, here locally we have a lot of agriculture areas. I'll try and harvest an antelope off of an alfalfa field versus a sage, because a lot of times what with the deer. I mean, venison rub the same kind of way, like you said, with the elk. But I mean, any one of them are going to be great on jerky. We do have like a specific deer steak and elk steak seasoning. Those are great. I like taking the deer and I make tacos or fajitas out of it or chili. Got all of that as well. It's hard to pick one specific because any one of our kits would work great for any one of those animals.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, it makes me hungry, honestly, just thinking about it all.
Right? That's, doing a podcast at 8 in the morning kind of makes you a little bit hungry right away. You know?
Yeah, for steak.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Brian, why don't you kind of let people know where they can go to find High Mountain Seasoning? And
yeah, absolutely.
And how they can purchase and everything like that, because I definitely want, you know, if people are going to if I'm hungry, listen to this, I think other people will be too, so maybe they'll head your guys' way.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of times you can find it in a lot of the major box stores, for sure, if they have them in their hometowns, whether it's Bass Pro, Cabela's, Shields, Sportsman's Warehouse, or their mom-and-pop local grocery stores or sporting goods stores will have it. But you can also find us on our website, too, at himtnjerky.com. We have any specials we're offering, it'll be there. We have online ordering over $75 in the continental U.S. It's free shipping. We have tips, recipes, you know, our entire line of products obviously will be offered there where some of the stores won't carry everything. That's himtnjerky.com.
Yeah, and everybody pay attention to that. It's H-I for high. It's not H-I-G-H. Yep. That was
right.
Something
it's
that...
H-I, much more friendly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hi. Yeah.
Exactly.
That was something that got me. I went to Google it, and I was like, oh, man, I'm glad I saw that on Google, because I probably would have spelled it incorrectly in all my show notes.
Yep, just... keeping it simple, like you said, we like to feel like we're a little bit friendlier with the name. And then obviously, if people ever have any, you know, questions on the product, like how to use it, any tips, anything like that, always call. We enjoy talking to our customers. They, you know, we want to help them out, want them to have the best experience possible when they make their make our products, using whether it's domestic or wild game.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, Brian, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out this morning. And
oh, absolutely.
It's been a blast chatting with you, and hopefully we can have you on another podcast and we can dive into maybe some of the tools and knives and things like that that you try to take out in the field.
I think
that would be a great topic.
Thank you for listening in. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. We hope to have you tuning in for the next episode.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.